Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. John is off today doing some auction stuff. Sherry is helping her mother out. She's going to be back on the show tomorrow. So if you miss her, which I'm sure you do, you can tune in tomorrow. Here's Sherry. But today you have me, Jake Skorheim, host of the Cairo Night Show with Jake Skorheim, and Spike O'Neill from the Jack and Spike Show.
Yeah, buddy.
A lot of fun.
This is a ball.
This is the easiest show to do. I don't know if you guys know this, but the night show only has one host, myself. Like, I do what two people do.
I used to use hand puppets. Do you do that? I talk to myself in a little hand puppet.
Do you?
Yeah, I made him cut the video feed off because it was disturbing to watch.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Hard to watch that. A grown man.
I can actually picture you doing that.
Oh, yeah.
That must have been disturbing.
You know those little green things in the kitchen they used to hold hot plates?
Yeah.
That was my hand
puppet. That was your co-host.
That was my co-host.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
troubling, huh?
You can also catch him on the Jack and Spike Show every day from noon to three.
I got a better co-host now.
A little better than the hand puppet.
Yeah.
All right, you guys want to talk about some elephants? Why not? There was a woman who was traveling in Zambia. She was there for once-in-a-lifetime vacation. She was on safari. A lot of people do this. You've actually done this. You've gone on safari, is that right?
In Zambia.
In Zambia.
I've been to Zambia.
Okay, have you seen elephants?
I have ridden elephants.
You've ridden elephants?
I have ridden elephants in Zambia. And a lot of people took issue with that because, you know, the elephants are, they're not treated like they are in the circus, and that's what people think. This was an elephant sanctuary because elephants' territory has been encroached upon. So this was actually a reserve that where these elephants were, they were adored.
Just free range elephants.
Yes, and they were babied, and they were just so cared for and loved and given ample room to live their natural life.
Is that not what happens in a circus?
You know, the prod, the whole nine.
My
oldest daughter and I went to Zambia with World Vision, part of a child sponsorship trip
for
the radio.
Yeah, I love World Vision.
It was wonderful folks, and we got to ride these elephants in a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. Yeah.
I rode an elephant once, but I think it was at the zoo, and it was like, you know, you like pay $5 and you get to climb on an elephant and ride
around.
We
went through the jungle. We went through the bush. We went through rivers on the backs of elephants. And
that's amazing.
It was pretty great.
That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Joe, have you ever ridden an elephant?
I have not.
Oh, man. That sucks. Sorry. Sucks to be you, buddy.
Sucks to be the one.
Not
guy.
The most dangerous thing I've ever ridden, by the way.
Really? What else have you ridden that's more dangerous?
I rode a coin-operated corn dog ride down in Tillamook, Oregon.
Okay.
Outside of a general store, there was like a, you know, the horse, but it was a corn dog, and it threw me.
Were you a child?
No, I wish. I was child. Could have handled this bucking monster of a bucking. With a B, monster of a electric corn dog.
Now, why are you on a child's 25-cent corn dog?
I can show you the photo. It's worth.
That's
it's worth
all right.
A thousand. It's worth a thousand.
Yeah, you don't see those things outside of grocery stores anymore.
The coin operated horses.
Yeah. Depends on where you live. Like,
really?
If you live in the city, you don't see them. But up in my neck of the woods, up in Snohomish County, now people are still thrilled by that. We're simple folks up north.
Nice. Yep.
We still like coin operated things.
It's harder to find a quarter than it is one of those machines.
Fair.
No, we still use money up in my neck of the woods.
Wow.
We don't use
paper
credit card.
Money. You
paper
said?
Money. Yeah, money that folds.
What?
Yeah. No,
I heard
great.
The story about your kid wanting foldable money.
Yeah.
You're in trouble, pal.
Yeah, it's a bad deal.
So what happened in Zambia?
So in Zambia, this woman goes to Zambia. She's on this, you've seen videos of this before. People travel around in these like kind of like really cool outfitted. They're usually like Toyota Land Cruisers.
Yeah, wide open and they
wide
drive
open.
Through the
they
reserves.
Don't have sides. They might have like a cloth
like a
roof.
Canvas
canopy roof. But they have like, you know, extended seating. They're probably not like road safe, but you don't care because you're in the middle of,
it's a savanna.
Safari, yeah. So she's on safari and this big elephant comes at them and starts charging them and flips the car over.
Wow.
Crushes her and she dies.
Oh.
On this thing. Let's see. NBC News has a story. It's a crazy story.
Hey, 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 hey.
This is actual footage of the incident.
Hey, hey.
Dramatic video showing the moment an African safari turned deadly. A massive African bull elephant is seen in the distance running toward a vehicle full of tourists. Suddenly charging right at the group, eventually flipping over the entire thing with its tusks. The six passengers and tour guide inside sent tumbling over. One of those passengers, an 80-year-old American woman, tragically killed, according to the tour company Wilderness. Another guest was taken to a medical facility in South Africa for treatment, as four others were treated for minor injuries. The CEO of Wilderness pointing to the terrain and vegetation in a statement, writing the guide's route became blocked and he could not move the vehicle out of harm's way quickly enough. The deadly episode playing out in the Kafue National Park in Zambia. The massive 550,000-acre wildlife reserve is the oldest and second largest safari park in the world, a popular destination for people looking for an encounter with iconic African animals like lions, hippos, and elephants. The Safari Guide Company promises a tour of, quote, one of the wildest, most pristine places on Earth. But journeys into the home of Africa's wild animals can come with risks. While elephant attacks are not common, videos of the animal getting aggressive with tourists have gone viral before. But in Zambia, the tour company says it is cooperating fully with local police and wildlife officials in their investigation, as local authorities work with the U.S. Embassy to get the American woman who lost her life back home.
So when you went on your safari, did they give you a warning ahead of time? Did they say, like, you know, these are wild animals, they could actually hurt you?
Yeah. They did, but
so
they,
you knew what you were. But you didn't actually believe that they would hurt you.
No, I mean, I would.
Because you're putting your child on an elephant's back. So well, I'm but sure
that,
you felt
that was safe. That was a different experience. The elephant ride was one thing, and one of the car rides, those kind of things. Yeah, we were worried. You know, we were more worried about a big cat approaching the vehicle. And
did you see lions?
Oh yeah, we saw lions. You know what scared the most was we were in a boat. It was the same trip, different excursion, I guess, because you and I'm making this all sound wonderful. With World Vision, we would go in country, we would meet children who had been sponsored and the benefit of World Vision sponsorship, and then go to unsponsored regions and see what people lived like prior to our you know, a coffee cup a day donation, what the difference that made. We'd go on these excursions at the end of the experience, so it was you know, as a thank you for giving their time and our attention, our megaphone to this cause. We're on a river cruise, and we were chased by hippos.
Oh my God!
In a small river boat, and that was terrifying.
Because hippos, the hippos are the deadliest animal.
Yeah, they're the number one killing animal in Africa.
Because they're just so territorial.
So territorial, and the jaws can literally rip you in half.
They're super fast.
Super fast in the water.
In
You'd be amazed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is inspirational to me because I'm also big and fast in the water.
I have to think of that.
Yeah, but this elephant was fast too. Because if you see the video, it was far away when it started charging.
And they're very territorial.
What I can't figure out, though, is that the driver of this vehicle
said he was blocked and couldn't move.
Well, he said he was blocked, but as I'm watching the video, I'm like, well, he certainly got there. Like, stick it in reverse, go backwards, do anything. The elephant comes right up next to the car, or the whatever it was, Toyota Land Cruiser, comes right up next to the vehicle and then starts hitting it with its, and then flips it over. And you're watching this whole thing just play out. You're like, why are they not trying to get out of there?
Well, I think
just
they've got
step on it.
They've got numerous experiences in this type of situation in these, because these reserve
I don't know if I believe that.
Well, but from what I've heard, and we heard the same thing from tour guides when we were there and locals that we interacted with when we were there. These animals will charge but stop. It's a fronting maneuver more often than an attacking maneuver. And this guy
yelling,
hey, 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 you know, that usually they'll stop short and let you know you're coming too close to my little one or you're in our territory and get out. And often, most often, that works. You don't hear about these kind of horrific accidents because they don't often happen.
The tour guide operators, the CEO, his name is Keith Vincent. He said in a statement about the company, he said, guides are all extremely well-trained and experienced. He said, sadly, in this instance, the terrain and vegetation was such that the guide's route became blocked and he could not move the vehicle out of harm's way quickly enough. Again, obviously I wasn't there. I don't know, but I would just question why he didn't just try something to get out of there.
And I think had she not been 80, she probably would have survived. Like, I don't know the specifics that I don't think she actually got crushed under the side of the thing, but, you know, maybe she had a heart attack or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe it, not to say that, you know, it's still a tragedy, but
yeah, there was other people on the tour that did not die.
Yes. Yeah, you've seen other tours like this where an elephant or something gets up and kind of nudges the truck or whatever. And, you know, so maybe they just weren't as worried about it as they should have been or should have considered that they had a really elderly passenger.
Isn't it interesting, though, too, that like, you know, you were in the situation, Spike. These people were obviously in this situation, but you kind of just assume that everything's going to be okay. You just have this like idea in your head that, oh, okay, well, they do this all the time. These are professionals. They're driving us out here in the middle of the safari, this safari.
Right.
And everything's going to be fine. But sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And that's very scary.
I would trust these guides or someone, you know.
Well, I would too. I wouldn't even question
it. Yeah. More so than I would a roller coaster. At the state fair, you know, I mean,
I question that all the time. Good job bringing that up. Like, we just brought our kids. There's a little fair up in Snohomish during the summer times that we go to. We're on the carousel. It's a roundabout thing, goes up and down.
Ferris wheel.
Yeah. It's a Ferris wheel. We're sitting on it. We're like 60 feet up in the air, and I'm sitting there with my, everything precious in my life. I'm sitting in this tiny little
tiny car,
and we're swinging.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there, we're 60 feet up, and I'm looking around at the construction of this thing. And first thing I'm noticing is like, boy, there's like a lot of scuff marks. There's a lot of rust on this thing. This thing is squeaking a ton. I'm like, every precious thing in the world to me is hanging from this 60-year-old chunk of metal that is being put together for the lowest possible cost for this operating.
By a guy with sleeveless t-shirts hitting on an 18-year-old.
Yeah, by a guy down there with like one of the better mullets I've ever seen.
It's not besmirched carnage. It's too bad.
Look.
But there's a comedian, I think it's Nate Bergazzi or whatever.
Yeah,
He's like, we're on rides. This thing was on the freeway 40 minutes ago in the back of a truck.
Oh, you're right.
And we slapped it up for you.
I just saw him in
nice
Everett,
people.
Actually, like a month ago. He was fantastic. He's brilliant. Super funny. Back to the elephant death. The son of this woman killed, he's actually spoken out about this now. He talked to the Daily Mail. We don't know her name, but we do know his name. His name is Blake Vetter. He talked to the Daily Mail, and he said that he does not blame the stampeding elephant. Obviously, it's an animal, so how could you blame the animal?
Yeah.
He also doesn't blame the driver for stopping when it charged. He talks about his mom here. He says that she was aware of the risks. She would not put any blame on the elephant that killed her. He said she was really looking forward to this one, and she also knew that there'd be many risks. And anytime something could happen, people want to blame the elephant and the driver. It's awful how people don't know what's going on. The elephant was just being an elephant. My mom would be the first to defend the driver and the elephant. So if her son doesn't blame the elephant or the driver, then maybe we shouldn't either.
Yeah, her daughter said she was on her dream vacation. You know, that's what she all her life she dreamt.
She's of 81, going to Africa. Right? Or 79?
79, 80 years old,
That's not a young person. She lived a long, good life.
Yeah.
She's on safari. I'm like, I'm not saying that we're glad that she's gone.
Yeah, she could have slipped in her driveway going to get the water bill.
Listen, there's a lot worse ways that you can go than on a safari. That's a pretty remarkable way to end things.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I mean, I'm trying to find the sunny side.
You got it. You're good.
You could have been playing the lotteries online game about, imagine yourself a winner and you're swimming with sharks. Next thing you know, you've got an AI-generated semi-nude corn.
You guys saw that story?
Yes. What? Hey, Washington Lottery.
Wasn't that crazy?
I have a dream. A competent web designer that doesn't make soft porn out of your AI participant customers.
Not that we want to send people the dirty pictures.
No.
But if you want to see what this picture was, you can go to mynorthwest.com. Check it out there. Okay. I have a quick question for you. Can we switch over to hockey real fast?
Sure.
All right. Did you guys see this hockey fight that happened?
Yes.
Let me see. I got some audio here somewhere. There's a hockey fight that just recently happened.
This was last night.
And you actually watched this game. Is that right, Joe?
Yes. We saw the beginning of it. So this fight started before they even dropped the puck. Like they knew they were going to fight.
Grudge matches.
Once the puck drops, then legally they can fight because in hockey you can fight each other.
You can fight.
This is the New Jersey Devils, and it is the New York Rangers. Is that right?
Correct.
So they're kind of neighbors.
Oh, bitter rivals.
Here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
Square Garden has seen its fair share of bouts on the canvas, on the ice. No undercard tonight. Rempe and McDermott, the main event to open the hockey game.
Both sides. Lazar went the other side as well.
Jimmy Vesey and Lazar Gaudreau has dropped them with Kevin.
And everybody else joins in on the fight.
They even pretend to play hockey.
They drop the puck, and then 2 seconds after they drop the puck,
gloves are off.
Everyone. So what's the rule here? Like, they got to grab a jersey. Like, is there a rule about it, or can they just like start swinging?
I don't know exactly what the rules are, and my wife is a big hockey fan, so I try to get as much as I can, but even she is sometimes confused by it, because sometimes they'll stop it immediately. Sometimes they'll let it go for a little bit. Sometimes you'll get penalties. Sometimes you get ejected, like last night.
You always get minutes for fighting.
Right.
Referees are instructed to allow guys to fight, but always intervene when someone's safety is put at risk.
Right.
And the safety, not just safety getting punched in the face, you know, of real injury. And referees do a good job of...
Somebody goes down, they usually stop
it. But fighting is an integral attraction in hockey. It's one of the biggest parts of hockey.
What's, well, what,
Oh, go ahead.
This guy, so this guy, what's his name? Matt Rempe. So he's one of the guys that in the initial fight. And he's only 21 years old. I think this is his first year
in
the league. Yeah, and he has just embraced the fighting culture in hockey.
He's a goon.
Yeah, he wants to do is fight. He loves it. He gets beat up all the time. He beats guys up sometimes. But every single night, he wants to get in a fight. And he's proud of it, and he loves it. And he's really charming and funny. But
he's making a name for himself.
Yeah, he's making a name for himself.
Well, there's a practical reason there's a goon on a squad. Because you've got these smaller, faster skill skaters, and you want to protect them. And, and you let the other team know, you take my guy out with a hip check or a dirty shot, we're going to send the goon.
Well, evidently, the last time these two teams played, he hurt one of the guys on the Devils or did something dirty. I don't know exactly what, but that's why they started immediately.
But this turned into a 5-on-5, which means everybody on the ice pairs up with somebody else, and then the goalies come out and the goalies go at it.
And
then
it went for a minute.
Because the referee, they can't stop it. There's only four refs out there.
These guys are all wearing face masks and helmets. Can you imagine wailing on someone? No, these two guys that were fighting for a minute, they're pounding each other's helmets.
Yeah.
I don't know what good that's doing. Eventually, they get so exhausted, the referees pulled them apart.
Yeah, they were ready to tap out.
They were ready to go to sleep. So they had a little timeout.
Well, they hang on the jersey for balance.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You asked, do you have to have a hand? No, it's just for balance.
Isn't it weird hockey, this is such a big part of hockey? But in any other sport, we'd be oh, no, tis.
You get suspended.
But in hockey, we cheer. We're like, yes, this is the best.
You bet.
Yeah, I'm here for it, too.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Love Wilcox Family Farm eggs as much as I do. They're just the best. If you're looking for a great egg, I'd try Wilcox Family Farms. It's a good egg.
You're right. A good egg, Jake.
You're a good
you
egg,
are,
Spike.
You are, man. All right, there's something seriously different about Wilcox eggs.
No, there's like... If,
seriously different good
if
eggs.
If you ever tried a regular egg and then you try a Wilcox Family Farm egg, it's a whole different experience.
It's like making your own beer at home and then go out and getting a real nice beer.
You're totally right. Absolutely. And you feel good about where the chickens are living.
Yep, all that seriously.
Stuff. Wilcox Family Farm. Really great. Really great. All right, so I'm Jake Skorheim. I'm filling in for John and Sherry.
You're not getting free eggs and you're not getting free yogurt.
Alongside
Spike O'Neill.
Spike O'Neill.
I want to go to the yogurt place you were talking about the other night.
It's fantastic.
I know. I'm dying to get out there.
You got to get up there. It's up in Snohomish County. Yeah. It's called Toppit Yogurt. They do. It's amazing. Did you see the pictures I posted?
Yeah.
So cool.
That's somebody that loves their business like that.
That guy loves his business.
Yep. And it shows. It's wonderful.
It's really cool. He ordered, I don't know if you heard this, but he ordered a bell. From the Titanic.
The guy who made the Titanic.
From the family who made the original Titanic bell up in the crow's nest that was supposed to warn them about the iceberg. He contacted them.
That's up in Belfast, Ireland. Yeah.
Well, that company is actually in Southampton, England.
But they
built the ship
built
in Belfast.
Ship in Ireland. Okay,
yeah, gotcha. But he contacted them. They're still in business. And he said, can you guys make me a replica one of these? They said, yeah, we still have the mold. From the Titanic one. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's a yogurt shop. You should check it out. All right. Gene Simmons and Kiss have sold their catalog. Do you know much about Gene Simmons?
I know more than I ever wanted to know about Gene Simmons.
Were you surprised that Gene Simmons sold his catalog?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because Gene Simmons would father your children if he could make money doing it. Well, he would donate and you could buy the seed of the demon. Gene Simmons of Kiss.
You think he would?
Of course he would.
He's good at making money.
He's brilliant.
He's a good marketer.
Brilliant marketer. You know, I've told this story before, but we made song parodies for 20-some years with Bob Rivers. The only person ever to sue us was Gene Simmons.
Are you serious? You got sued by Gene Simmons.
We got a cease and desist from Gene Simmons.
That is a point of pride.
Of Kiss. It was a total point of pride.
Yeah.
We made a song called I Used to Rock and Roll All Night, but now my hair's turning gray. You know,
you loved us when the band was hot.
Yeah.
Did they actually send you a letter?
Shot. Oh, we got a letter from Gene's lawyer.
So you framed it, I assume.
Well, we actually settled with him. He wanted one seventeenth of every, because there were 17 cuts on this album.
Yeah.
He wanted 1/17 of everything we made selling this one particular Twisted Tunes album that we sold.
So what did you settle for?
I don't know. I forget. Bob Rivers settled with him. I didn't have to ever worry about that.
You were insulated. You were protected from that. Yeah.
But Gene is a brilliant marketer, whether it's the Kiss cruise that you can go on every year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with all Kiss merchandise that's available. The Kiss coffin you can be laid to rest in with your choice of Destroyer artwork or Love Gun artwork.
They sell their own coffins.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Dude, there is nothing Gene Simmons will not slap the Kiss logo on for money. Gene's a brilliant marketer.
All right, so Kiss has sold their catalog, and they sold it for $300 million, which is pretty good money.
That's great money.
It's great money. And so somebody was asking Kiss, they're like, well, what's going to happen now? Are you just not going to be part of this anymore? So he put a statement out. He said, I don't like the word acquisition. Again, this is from Gene Simmons, Kiss frontman. He says, collaboration is exactly what it's about. I would be remiss in our inferred fiduciary duty to do the thing that we created to abandon it. He told the Associated Press, people might misunderstand us and think, okay, now Pop House is doing that stuff and we're just in Beverly Hills twiddling away our thumbs. No, that's not true. We're in the trenches with them. We talk all the time. We share ideas. It's a collaboration. Paul Stanley and I, especially with the band, we will stay committed to this. It is our baby. Now, he was asked if they're going to keep touring, which they're not. They're not going to tour anymore.
They're on their final, right? They just finished up their final road one more time.
Yeah, they said their touring days are over. But did you see they're going to do digital touring now? They're just like, okay, so this is actually kind of neat. They have sold their likeness to this company that recreates virtually. You've seen like virtual holograms.
Yeah.
So these Kiss characters now are going to tour around the world, and they're going to be idealized perfect versions of Kiss characters.
Sure.
They can do amazing things like, you know, they can play all their instruments, all the songs are going to be seamless and everything. They can jump 35 feet in the air because they're digitized.
Yes.
And they can still go and put on a great concert.
In a hologram form.
And to the audience, they're going to think this looks real but they're going to know, like, would you guys go see a concert if it was a hologram?
No.
Jack and I have had this discussion numerous times because Pete Townsend just recently said in an interview, you know, don't go see, we're done. He's like, this isn't The Who. This is two 80-year-olds being on stage trying to be relevant. The Who was 1965, 1969. That was The Who. So I would go see a computer-generated holographic impression. Imagine if you could go see the Beatles play, and they open the show in their matching suits and the hair, or in leathers at the Cavern Club. Then you see them as they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. Then you see them in the Sgt. Pepper years. Then you see them on the rooftop at the BBC in a holographic
an evolution.
Form. Right. I mean, they could literally age in front of you.
The only I could see the benefit.
But that's
to that.
Like going to a movie, not a concert,
because it feels like a movie. Right. But what you're describing actually sounds much cooler, and maybe that's what they're going to do here.
There's an ABBA experience now playing in London. CGI holographic ABBA. Yeah, and people are paying like hundreds.
ABBA.
Yeah, hundreds. By the way, that's my biker name. I don't know if you knew this. That's my biker name.
Your biker name is Dancing Queen.
Nice. I got a new stereo on my bike one year on a big long ride with like 20 of these nasty bikers. I turned on my bike and it was a brand new stereo. I didn't know how to change the channel. So every time I turn my bike on, since my catalog was alphabetical, ABBA would come on and Dancing Queen would come on.
We didn't plan about talking about this, but just because we're on it for a second.
Okay, so ABBA's touring.
ABBA's touring.
No. I want to stay on ABBA for a second.
Holographically.
Do you know what's a really weird thing about ABBA? They're weirdly good music to work out to. I don't do a whole lot of working out, but when I do, I listen to kind of, I don't know why, but The Winner Takes It All is one of those songs that if you listen to it when you're working out, you just get jacked up. You get excited. This is also the same case for there's a Barry Manilow song called, oh my gosh, what's the sound? Barry Manilow song called? I can't think of it right now.
Winner
is this
takes
Winner
it
Takes
all?
It All?
Of course it is.
Ooh, I'm jacked up.
Aren't you jacked up right now?
I don't want to talk.
Is there a specific part or is it the whole thing?
Oh, the whole thing. Look at him flexing. His feet can't stop.
They're doing push-ups right now.
I'm getting sweaty. My blood is starting to like build up. I just feel healthier listening to this song. My entire workout consists of the length of the song, so I don't know if that's a healthy thing.
Yeah.
This song's only about 4 minutes and then I'm done. How weird is this song? This song was written by one of the guys about his breakup with the girl. Like, it's written from her perspective. It's basically saying, like, he won, he takes it all.
Well,
that's strange.
It's tough to go perform that. Like, Taylor Swift writes songs about her exes.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks writes songs about her exes and then makes him play guitar on them while she sings about what a butthead he is.
Yeah, but that's think of all the real. Money they're making.
I know, right?
It's pretty good.
Well, that's the best. The best art comes from struggles and drama and heartbreak, right?
Yeah.
Rumors might be the greatest album ever made because they were breaking up while they were making it. They were cheating on each other while they were making it. Oh, this is one of the greatest songs ever because it's singing about what a D-bag your guy is while he plays piano.
And it's
art, man.
And it's real nice to run to.
Art is pain.
Yeah, it's real nice to run to.
And would you feel would you feel that you were consuming that art as it was intended if they were holographic and pre-recorded?
I'd know the difference. Right. Yeah, but I would appreciate it.
You know when you buy the ticket.
Yeah, I'm of the mind nowadays. I've seen 700 concerts in my life, I'd estimate, right? I go see Springsteen. I'll see him now. He's 73 years old. I'll go see him again twice this year.
I think I'd prefer Springsteen as a hologram. Did you see that picture of him recently?
The Tilda Swinton years? Yeah, it's tough to look at. But you know what?
Megan Rapinoe? They're like twins now.
Stop, man. I almost prefer concert movies to going to concerts nowadays.
Have you seen the Eagles? What was the name of that?
Hell Freeze Over?
No, the documentary they did.
The two-parter with Scorsese put together.
Yeah, History of the Eagles.
History of the Eagles, yeah.
So good. Mm. It's like four hours. You're sitting there just like, you get so inspired about life just watching the Eagles.
And you see what kind of total monsters Don Henley and Glenn Frey were. How they lorded over that band.
Good music.
I don't know, man.
It's good music.
They fired Randy Meisner because he was too hungover to sing one night. Got founding member of the band.
Oh, he's hungover. He's not doing his job.
He couldn't hit the high note.
If I showed up here hungover, they'd fire me.
They got him hungover. Remember, they got him. Yeah. They took him out and got him just hellaciously drunk.
And they're going to do the encore finale. And he goes, I can't do it tonight, man. I can't hit that note. We won't do it tonight. Next day, Glenn Frey kicked him out of the band for one bad night.
There had to be more to that.
There's more to that story.
Yeah.
We're going to get to the bottom of it. All right, well, Gene Simmons sold their catalog.
Gene Simmons sold the catalog. That's all they're doing.
Kiss sold the catalog. Good for them.
$300 million. Bruce got $500 million for his catalog.
None of us would go to a CGI concert, right? None of us?
I mean, I might go, but I would prefer a concert.
I wouldn't pay a lot for it.
No.
I would see it as a novelty. But
would you rather see 80-year-old Stones, or would you rather see a holograph of the 60s 25, 30-year-old Stones? Right?
You know, it's a tough call, but I think I would still rather see a live improvised
Here's a question for you. Would you cheer if you were at a concert of a CGI band?
It's a good question.
Like, people do cheer.
You have to be a tool to do
You'd
that.
You'd have to be a real dum-dum to cheer for a
CGI band. You're the guy that cheers the screen when the Death Star blows up.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and downstairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Spike, this has been really fun today.
Turn on the microphone, Spike. You've only been doing this for 35 years.
It's been a long day for
it's
you.
It's been a blast. Man, this flew by. I can't believe it's already 6 o'clock.
I know. Too fast. It happened too fast. All right. Sherry will be back tomorrow. John will be back on Monday. I think now we play some letter music. Is that right? There it is.
Mailman song.
Mailman. Sorry, mailman.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Spike, why don't you start us off, because the first one is to you.
Yes. Hee-haw Aaron asks, Spike, do you even get a potty break between shows? Actually, Aaron, I'm using a Texas catheter. thank you very much. My apologies to the seat I'm sitting in.
It's like the jerk, you know, that he is about me.
Psych you.
Tina in the 425 says, Jake, Spike, and Joe, it's super fun listening to three of you together. However, I'm still waiting for some fart noises to really sound off, to really round off these 3 hours. Thank you. There it is.
Paul in the 253. Jake and Spike, you guys are the best. I enjoy both the regular shows, but together you're fantastic.
Thank you, Paul. That's super nice. Let's see. Andrew in the 509 says, 902-10-star has grandkids. Thanks, Jake. Now I feel old. Now where did I put my Walkman? I was joking. He doesn't have grandkids. He just says he has two kids, but he's not very young either.
He's not very young. None of us are anymore. Except for you two. You guys are kids. With regard to the Home Depot, Brad the painter says, the trick to Home Depot is to go during weekdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., because that's when the retired tradespeople are working. Ah, brilliant. The prime shifters. Well, you know, everything else is kids that'll just read the label in front of you. I couldn't tell you that's the case, too. Saturday's amateur hour at the Home.
I went there the other day, and I was like asking a young kid who couldn't have been more than 16. I was like, what's this thing? And he goes, let me look it up. And he looked. I was like, I could have done that. Yeah, I could have looked it up.
Let me Google that for you.
John of Maple Valley says, hot tip for y'all. Go to Maple Valley TRM Wood Products for lumber/decking. Across the street is Johnson Home and Garden, the best hardware store around. Worth the drive from anywhere. That's a nice plug.
Yeah. A small town. Hometown hardware stores are absolutely the best. Spike, you are not wrong from the 425, but Lowe's is actually worse. Hard to believe, but I'll take your word on it.
Elliot in 425 says, Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks. Nice. Yep. There it is. All right, Spike, what's the next one?
Speed limiters. The 253 says, you know why semis are slow? Because we're governed. Maximum speed is 65 miles an hour.
Is that true? That's crazy. Let's see here. 425 says that Tesla setting is called valet mode. Oh, that's the one I was talking about where you can actually...
Oh, you can tell your car how fast to go.
You can tell the car. I don't want the person driving to be able to go over 45 miles an hour or whatever it is.
Interesting. Tiger Mountain Mike, I love this guy. I have no idea how fast my car goes, but the speedometer goes to 220. I didn't buy the car to drive recklessly, but I didn't buy it to be forced to put a governor on it either. Hands off my car.
Good point.
Yeah. Eagle on the hood, my
friend. Just don't let teenagers drive it. That's the thing.
Ever.
Michael in Puyallup says, you make it part of the rehabilitation after somebody gets too many tickets for speeding. Then they either lose their license or they get one of these installed. That would be the compromise.
Do you remember the movie Fifth Element?
Yes, of course.
Right, with Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis, yeah.
And he had an accident. You've got 1 point left on your license. They're monitoring from the sky, and they will tell us what we can and can't do.
Scary.
Easter egg heist. Oh, I'm sorry, Easter Sunday heist. It's been a long day. Easter Sunday heist. Daniel and Cedric Woolley says, heists are so interesting because it's like watching somebody try to defeat an obstacle course.
There you go.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
All right, this comes to us from Jeffrey on Vashon Island, and this is about social media. He says, I believe one of the biggest problems with kids on social media is that it is more difficult to learn empathy. Prior to social media, if you said, hey, kid, you're fat, you had to immediately see the effect of what you had said and how it affected that other kid. The sadness or the anger, you learned about that hurt. But now kids don't see the reaction of their bullying, especially if they start on social media very young. Thus, they don't learn. That's a very good point, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Excellent letter of the day. Nice choice, guys.
Fantastic letter of the day.
That's all she wrote.
That's it. That's it for now.
Maybe another hour.
But I was thinking maybe another hour.
Oh, twist my arm.
This would be 7 hours for you.
Twist my arm.
Can you do it?
I'm in.
Oh, there it is. All right, stick around for the next hour. Thank you guys so much. We're going to talk to you soon. Be right back here on Jack. What show is it?